It's time for the weekly edition of Legacy Living with Jeff Kennedy. Tips to help you grow, protect, and conserve your wealth for generations to come.
The following is a rebroadcast of an earlier program.
Good morning and welcome to Legacy Living Financial Strategies. I'm your host, Jeff Kennedy, here each and every week with financial news and analysis and strategies to help you protect your wealth and the legacy you'll leave behind. Good morning, Scott. How are you, sir?
I am doing fine.
Scott Hardy alongside, doing fine over there on the board this
Luckily,
morning.
Luckily, it is not a volatile morning weather-wise around the area here.
Right. Because we got a lot to talk about volatility-wise, just in the markets. It's pretty predictable. As seasons come and seasons go, we know what to expect sort of it. And really, that analogy kind of pours over into the weather into the markets. You know, we can know what the season is. We can't predict day to day what the exact conditions are going to be, but markets are kind of like that, Scott. We we kind of know where we are in the business cycle, and we can make predictions about what's likely to happen. Hard to say exactly what is going to happen day by day in there, but man, recently we've seen lots of volatility, and we want to continue to talk about that theme here on the show and protect people who, mostly our audience here and the folks that come into our offices around the Midwest here are, they're mom and pop who've saved up for retirement. They're 50 plus and either approaching or already in retirement, and frankly don't want to see all their good hard work go down the drain again. It probably, as we found in our interviews with most people in our offices, they've experienced that pain back in just as recent as 10 years ago, but probably also in 18 years ago in the turn of the century drawdown as well. And they just don't want to go through that again. They keep saying to me when they come in, I can't afford another one of those. I can't go back and make this money up. I'm retired, or I'm about to, or whatever it might be. And so that's where we specialize. We help people to take a look at those strategies that they're using, if I can loosely use that term with most people who are just kind of throwing darts, buying and holding what they've always had. But we take a look at the strategies and the financial tools and things that they're using and help them get a better, more diversified portfolio that can kind of go wherever those bull markets exist. And our thesis is, of course, right now, stocks and bonds aren't necessarily the place. I mean, maybe some upside from here, but certainly more risk than reward potentially.
Right. And it's like you've always said as well, if the market does go down dramatically, it's news, but it doesn't have to be bad news.
Yeah.
Depending on how you're situated.
Well, right. Depending on which side of that equation you sit on. Exactly. Uh-huh. Good point. And so what we strive to do is help people to be positioned correctly to take advantage of those opportunities. And that's the whole key. You know, as I have talked many times about my experience in naval aviation as a fighter pilot, you know, we had certain missions where we didn't have a specific target necessarily, but a zone to go protect, and we would fly around looking for those targets of opportunity. We'd roll in on those and take those out as best we could, but if the missiles and bullets started flying back at us, then man, we were tactical enough to turn on the afterburner, roll out and go, and get out of there, get out of harm's way. And that's the way we like to manage money at Kennedy Wealth Group. That's the way we position our clients so that we can get them out of harm's way in a hurry. And one of the key components of that is a money management shop out in the Philly area, Philadelphia area, by the name of CMG Wealth Management, and that is headed by Steve Blumenthal. You know, we've had Steve on a number of times, and he's graciously agreed to come on with us again this weekend and talk about some of these strategies that we use, talk about some of the things he's seeing as one who's been actively in the marketplace since 1992, actually before that, because he founded CMG at that time. He was before that with a big Wall Street firm. And, he's a frequent speaker and writer on investment strategies and is, contributing to Forbes. He's been on Barron's and the Wall Street Journal quoted, Investor's Business Daily. He does interviews with the NASDAQ Marketplace and CBS, Market Watch, all these different outlets. And we are fortunate enough to have him as part of our team that manages money for our clients. And I asked Steve to come on this morning and talk to us about some of the things he's seeing and some of the strategies that we can use. So, Steve Blumenthal, welcome to Legacy Living Financial Strategies this morning. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Jeff. It's good to be with you.
Hey, you are a pretty prolific writer, and I thank you for that because it helps me in my communication with my clients, and it helps me, frankly, have a lot of fodder for talking here with my listeners on Saturday morning. And the one you had last week, though, was particularly good, and I congratulate you on that. Thanks for doing that.
No, thanks for your kind words.
But there's a lot to unpack here, but I think you really kind of put things in perspective, and you take a very practical approach to things, because just in general, 30,000 foot view, what I gather from this is, you know, you see some storm clouds brewing, but they're not rolling on shore just yet. I mean, there's some risk that we should be preparing for, like these folks who had warnings days ahead of time of the hurricanes and they took precaution. Is that kind of the thinking that you have going on right now in the business market?
Perfect analogy. Yeah, that's exactly it. The two big issues are debt, number one. We're too indebted, and I can explain how debt cycles work. And number two, pensions are just massively underfunded, and that's something that we're going to have to figure out.
Yeah, there's an interesting quote at the start of your piece here last week, and which is entitled, by the way, if you're looking for this and you'd like to get it, because it's a long piece, we won't be able to cover it all this morning, but send an email over to info@kennedywealthgroup.com. We can get this over to you, get the link. But you start with this quote. I've not heard of this gentleman, Francesco Filia. Who is that exactly?
Yeah, he's in Europe. He's a money manager over there, and somebody that I've followed for years.
I love the way he speaks and writes in various places you've quoted him, but he says, a generational opportunity hidden in plain sight, its status of loneliness and vox clamantis in deserto. Okay, so a voice crying out in the wilderness. Scott, well, Scott recognized that Latin immediately.
A little Latin right there, yeah.
He makes for potential outsized returns. A generational opportunity hidden in plain sight makes for potential outsized returns. Man, that caught my attention right away.
Yeah, so I storied about what happened in 2006 when I got a phone call from a gentleman by the name of Mark Finn. Mark is one of the brightest investors that I know. He's in his mid-70s. He in a prior life ran the state of Virginia's retirement system. He runs a big consulting firm with endowments and pensions or that type of client. And we met sometime around 2001, and over the years developed a very good relationship. But back in 06, he's calling me asking me if we had anybody, any positions in collateralized debt obligations. So these were those over-leveraged layers and layers of a mortgage product that blew up. Well, this was a lone voice crying out in the wilderness back then about something that wasn't on anybody's radar. In fact, you had Alan Greenspan saying that, Mark, I'm not concerned about the housing market. Housing has never, corrected, has never collapsed. And afterwards, Greenspan said nobody saw this coming. Well, that's not true. There were quite a few of us that saw it coming. And where we are today in the business cycle is a point in time where there are a few lone voices crying out in the wilderness saying, get prepared. Hurricane's coming. Get your home locked down and get prepared.
Yeah, and you went on to say, one of those voices is, if people saw the movie The Big Short, was Michael Burry. In a similar way, we have clients today in our participate and protect strategy who had been getting a little antsy anyway before all this volatility came up, with markets being reported every day in the news cycle that goes on 24/7. A new high recorded in the NASDAQ today, or the Dow, or the S&P, whatever it was, or all the indexes are up, blah, blah, blah. And folks go, well, I'm not doing that. But there's more to that story than the headline, right? I mean, there's more going on underneath the surface, and you got to pay attention to all of that data, not just one particular data point that encompasses 500 stocks or 30 stocks.
Well, what's interesting this time is very similar to what was happening in late 1999. You had just a few tech companies that were driving up all of the indices. And this time it's actually multiplied by, you know, it's exponential in that investors, when we watch TV and we see that the market was up, we assume that that's our broadly diversified portfolio that may include bonds. Maybe bonds were down. And when we compare and we prepare a diversified portfolio to last and create a certain sort of return objective and a certain sort of risk objective. Somebody wants to be in the market, that's great. That's a different risk objective. So when we watch TV and say, hey, the market was up, my diversified portfolio was only up 1% for the year and the market's up 10, those two things are apples and oranges. What's interesting this time is that just a few stocks had resulted in all of the gains. So you have 500 stocks in the S&P 500 index, and you had the top 10 of them making up more than all of the return of that index.
Yeah,
that's highly unusual. That means 490 stocks were net negative. So something is going on economically somehow in the system that should prepare and tip us off for things.
Yeah, when we come back from this break, Steve, I want to talk about that kind of that. What are those underlying things, this critical transformation hypothesis that you write about in your blog last week, and delve into that and help people understand why we're thinking what we're thinking. If you're listening to us this morning on Legacy Living Financial Strategies thinking, oh, man, I got to get out of the car, go grab those groceries or get some donuts this morning, well, you can get this on a podcast. If you go to WTAD.com. You can download that, and also if you'd like to get a link to this piece that we're discussing this morning, send us an email at info@kennedywealthgroup.com, and we'll get that out to you. Stick with us through the break. We'll be right back on WTAD. Good morning. Welcome back to Legacy Living Financial Strategies. I'm your host, Jeff Kennedy, alongside Scott Hardy this morning, helping you protect your wealth and the legacy you will leave behind. If you caught just a little bit of that first segment and you want to get more of that, you want to take your time and listen to the whole show, Scott, they can get that on the WTAD website.
That is correct. At WTAD.com, you'll see on the upper right-hand side a little headphone logo. Click on that about 5 minutes after the conclusion of the show. And you can listen to your heart's content.
All right, excellent. So go ahead and take advantage of that. And also, I want to encourage you to get this piece that we're discussing today. It was written by Mr. Steve Blumenthal of CMG Wealth out in the Philadelphia area. He's a money manager and critical to our overall strategies at Kennedy Wealth Group. And you get a kind of a sense of how we think at Kennedy Wealth Group, because a lot of what we do is derived by this research that Steve compiles and does such a good job of it every week. I mean, the amount of reading he does to prepare for this and boiling it down even to the 19-20 pages I have here printed out, I mean, it's amazing stuff. And he does that a couple times a week, a longer piece on the weekend, a midweek check-in on charts and things if you're that so inclined, you know, to look at things of that nature. But to see where we're coming from and why we have the stances we do, it's a blog that he puts out, like I say, weekly, and we can get that to you if you send us an email to Kennedy or info@kennedywealthgroup.com. That's Kennedy like the president, Kennedy Wealthgroup.com. info@kennedywealthgroup.com. We'll get that to you right away. So Steve Blumenthal is still with us. Steve, thanks for hanging on through the break there. This is going to be a lot to break down, so I'm going to try and take it in small bites, but this underlying thesis that, or hypothesis that you operate from and others that are in this kind of participate and protect mindset, I want to break it down and start by reading this piece. Just hang with me out there in the audience. I'll try and make this, because there is some kind of wonky talk in here, if you will, but stick with us, because the bigger theme is important for you to get. But Steve, years of monumental quantitative easing. Now, people have heard about QE, QE1, 2, QE infinity. That's quantitative easing. That's action by the Fed, right, Scott? That's kind of artificially stimulating, maybe, and maybe it's gone too far, but, you know, we're not sure. But years of monumental QE / negative interest rates, monetary policy, affected the behavioral patterns of investors and changed the structure itself of the market in what accounts as self-amplifying positive feedbacks. That's a lot. That's a mouthful, Steve. But what does that mean in layman's terms to the average investor here, who's all bulled up now with markets on the high side, thinking, "Oh, I got to get in at maybe precisely the wrong time."
When you drive interest rates down to 0%, what does an investor do? The tendency is to go to seek a higher yield. Invest in riskier assets. When yields on safe fixed income, CDs, are lower than the dividends you can get on buying a stock, money seeks a better return and it moves. And so what the Fed has done and what the global central bankers have done by driving interest rates down to zero has inflated asset prices and caused behavior where we investors are looking for better yields. So when more and more money flows into the stock market, more buyers than sellers in anything, prices go up. More and more buyers, prices go up. So we've had this long, extensive period of interest rates being ultra low, and where investors have gravitated to this time is into very low fee index funds that are rules-based by construction, that when money goes in, it buys everything that's in that index. So, for example, if, you know, what is a self-amplifying feedback loop? Well, when everybody's buying, new money comes into a fund, the fund manager has to buy, and it bids the stocks up higher. New money comes in, it bids it up higher. So the more flows that go into it, all this central bank behavior has caused a chase into higher and riskier types of assets, And when we all chase into the same thing and overload the same thing and we all get fully invested, well, then the risk is at a very high point.
And that results in something of a low diversity trap. And I'd never seen that phrase before, but that makes a lot of sense, a low diversity trap. I see that in portfolios that come in my office all the time. People are
90% of the money. 90% of the money is flying into passive index funds. And, hey, God bless BlackRock and Vanguard for creating ultra-low fee products that we are all able to use. That's fantastic. Well, but when we all load into the same thing, buying the same stocks, then risk accumulates when you don't see it. Thus, the lone wolf crying in the, you know, in the night.
Long voice that crying out in the desert. Exactly right. You're listening to Legacy Living Financial Strategies. I'm on the line with Steve Blumenthal of CMG Wealth Management out in the Philadelphia area. And, you know, Steve, this concept of, as you describe it, kind of a plan to seeking growth while maintaining a level of protection is probably a better approach at this point, particularly for folks that are pre-retirees or retirees, those folks close to or in retirement, as opposed to the plan A or plan one type, buy and hold, rebalance, you know, because if it crashes, good on you. You get to buy more shares for cheap, but if you're closer to that retirement age, you can't go back and redo that.
Correct. Let's say that we have, in the piece that I wrote, I also showed some what I think are, well, they're certainly my favorite recession watch indicators, and they're important to us investors because it's during recession that we have the largest corrections in the market. The average correction in a recession, we get one or two recessions every 10 years. We haven't had one since 09. I don't see one this year. I think maybe next year we watch the data as it moves forward. But the reason it's important to get in front of it is that that's when all the bad stuff happens. That's when defaults spike. Companies, 30% of the companies in the Russell 2000 index, they're just getting bid up because everybody's buying the index funds. So there's no discrimination. All the stocks get bought. Well, 30% of them aren't making any money. If 30% of them aren't making any money, how are they paying the bills? Hmm. Well, they're borrowing, and they increase that borrowing. Well, what happens when you have a recession? Liquidity dries up, and they can't get the loans. And a lot of companies may find a way to restructure and move forward, but some of them won't. And ultimately, there are defaults. There are bond defaults and the corrections and slowdowns. So in recession, the average correction for the market is 37%. If you have $1 million and you're like you and I, in the baby boom generation, pre-retirees or retirees, and your $1 million goes down 37%, you have $630,000. Your million drops to 630. It may take, it's going to take a 59% return to recover just to get back to even. And so how many years does that take if you're like me, 57 years old, or you're somebody who's 65 years old or somebody in their mid-70s? You know, so if you're my daughter and you're 25 years old, rebalance, just rebalance, keep adding money, save, 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 add money. Over the years, you're going to be dollar cost averaging in. It's a good plan. It's a different plan if you can't afford to take the hit and you're depending on that money to retire off. And the hard part is that I don't think a lot of people understand the math.
Right.
If you decline 37%, you need almost a 60% return to get back to even. Well, if you drop 50%, which has happened in the last two recessions, your 100,000 goes to 500,000. Your million goes to 500,000. You need a 100% return to get back to even. That might take 10 or 15 years. If you're 60 and you need to live off the income from your portfolio, 10 or 15 years is time that you don't have. So I think it depends. You know, we should be aware of what our starting conditions are. Markets are incredibly expensive. Debt is throughout the system is a problem that will get reconciled. We'll figure out, my friend John Molden calls it the Great Reset. I love that phrase. Mm-hmm. And it means that we will have to restructure the debt. The pieces that I've written the last 3-4 weeks, I'd encourage everybody to Google Ray Dalio, How the Economic Machine Works.
Yeah, that's a good piece on YouTube for sure.
Yeah, and so he wrote a book that's a little bit more involved that talks about, it's a template for understanding big debt crises. And what happens if you think about it simply, if you just picture your brother and he's making $100,000 a year and he can go to the bank and he can borrow $10,000, he can spend $110,000. Good. That's good for the economy. His spending is your and my income. Somebody's spending, borrow their income plus their borrow is spending. And that spending becomes somebody else's income. So when there is not a lot of debt in the system, there's a lot of room for the economy to expand and grow. And all that expansion and growing and the borrowing and spending is good for the economy because that spending is somebody else's income. But you reach a point that your brother earns $100,000, but he now owes $450,000, $450,000. Pretty soon he can't borrow anymore. Mm-hmm. That means there's less money for him to spend on the economy. Worse, his $100,000, more of his income has to go to pay the interest rate and the principal back. He's got to spend even less. And so these cycles expand until they're too big, and then they contract.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, people don't understand how the machine works. I mean, that video, it's a half an hour long, but it's so well done. People should definitely go take a look at that because it matters, and that's one of the things that you And I like about you, you boil everything down, doesn't matter. This matters, okay? And that's what you suggest. Pay attention to. And that does. And there, you know.
We have to figure out how to correct it.
Yeah. It will be corrected at some point. It's going to be painful for those who aren't prepared for it. And that's, we'll talk a little bit more about that and more reasons why you should be getting prepared when we come back this morning on Legacy Living Financial Strategies. Again, reach out to us at info@kennedywealthgroup.com. Send us an email requesting this blog piece that we're talking about this morning. We'd be happy to get that to you. You're listening to Legacy Living Financial Strategies. Stick with us. We'll be right back after this break. I recognize this from my 80s days, but I can't remember.
The song's called I Want to Be Rich.
I Want to Be Rich.
Yeah.
Who is that?
Ah, that's a good question. It's not coming to my mind right now.
I'd stump the DJ.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, anyway, this we know is Legacy Living Financial Strategies by Jeff Kennedy. So here
go.
We are.
There you go.
And Scott Hardy alongside. You know, folks, the end of the year is quickly approaching. And this is the end, Scott, of the first year of this new tax law, which gave us a great gift as taxpayers to get to the 0% tax bracket, or at least make an effort toward that that desired outcome. That is the thing, 0% tax bracket. If you want to learn about how to do that, and what we're talking about is positioning yourself to not get hurt when taxes go up in the future, which it's our belief that they will go up, maybe substantially so. Some in the know are hypothesizing maybe they could double. And why would they say such a thing? Well, there's lots of reasons that we can back up. If you come to one of our classes, we can give you more detail on that, more color. But basically, it boils down to the two Ds, debt and demographics. Okay, we got $21 trillion plus in debt as a nation, plus we got, if you add on the unfunded liabilities, some say it's in excess of $100 trillion. Those unfunded liabilities being Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid, which will dwarf Social Security in the coming years as the boomers hit their full stride here in about 3 or 4 years. The first of those big 6 years begin to hit age 65. And so the debt there is important, but that last part I said about the boomers coming along, the demographics are going to overwhelm the system as well. Don't go into that with your eyes closed. Be prepared, pay attention, and do something about it. Take control of your own destiny is what we're suggesting, because if you, you've got that proverbial million-dollar nest egg, and you know it's not all yours because you got to pay tax at some level, but you don't know what that tax rate is. And that is a dangerous place to go. People ask me all the time, Scott, do I have enough to retire? Well, there's more to that question than just the dollars in the bank, right? You got to know what the tax impact is going to be. And so this is what we teach in our classes at John Wood. We don't have any more coming up before the end of this year, but we'd be happy to put a book in your hands called The Power of Zero and meet with you and just give you some ideas of what we're talking about here and how or if you can even do that. Find out if you're eligible for that. It's worth the shot, and if nothing else, it'll give you the impetus to get everything organized and see where you do stand. If you're interested in doing that, take a look at kennedywealthgroup.com on the website. You can reach out to us there on the contact drop down, or just send us an email at info@kennedywealthgroup.com, or call us here in Quincy, 217-221-1300, 217-221-1300. Don't let the rest of this year escape by you without doing something about this, because we know taxes are going up January 1st, 2026, if Congress doesn't do something more about it. And who knows what's going to happen in these midterms or what have you, but we got to dance with the devil we know. And right now, the planning needs to be done. So don't fail to do that. Okay, we're going to get back to Steve Blumenthal here because I've used up a lot of time that I want to use talking to Steve about a few more of the things that are on his radar, so to speak, about the markets and what you can do as a money manager there, sitting and looking at the charts and the data and pulling the levers. Steve Blumenthal, welcome back to Legacy Living Financial Strategies. Thanks for sticking with us. I know you've got a busy Saturday morning as usual. Is there soccer going on, or you got kids? You got football games? Penn State's happening. I mean, you got lots of things going on as a family man there too.
Well, and of all the stuff that we talk about with finances and stock charts, all of that is dwarfed compared to being with the people that you love the most. So, yeah, I enjoy the weekends. We're here, and there is a soccer game today. Yes, I'm looking forward to it.
All right, excellent. Hey, a couple of things. One, you outlined these two investment strategies, if you will, in your piece last week. You described them as Plan One and Plan Two, and Plan One is buy, hold, rebalance. You know, you buy the lowest cost. Everybody talks about, I can get a Vanguard cheapy index, cost me 40 basis points or something like that. And then, you know, in a 40 to 60% correction, you close your eyes, you don't panic, you hold on, you stick to the plan, and you say, well, that works great if you're 20 or 30 years old. But Plan Two, you seek growth while maintaining a level of protection against those 40 to 60% corrections. And I love the way you put this: open your eyes, don't panic, become greedy when others are fearful, and fearful when others are greedy. That's good advice, but it's hard to follow that advice, right?
It is. It is. And boy, my years in the business since 1984, watching behavior in 1987, 1990, 1992, 1998, 2000, 2002, and of course, nothing bigger than, well, although the crash in 1987 certainly felt that dire at the time, but nothing compares to what was at the time felt like the near collapse of the greatest financial capital market system on the planet, which is here in the United States. So it was that dire at that time. And so the question that I have for Plan One people, and I look at it like I would say that I love most all religions. You know, anything that's not violent and that is love based, I think it is great. We all have different faiths, and some, you know, maybe don't have a particular faith or no faith at all. It's it's a belief structure. And in the investment business, there are different altars in which we can worship. One of them is Plan One, buy and hold, and that's a plan that can work well for somebody who is super disciplined in following that belief structure. So that's the important key, whether or not it's in you to be able to stick to that process and follow that. I would argue that most people don't have the financial investment education, not because, you know, many because they don't have an interest in the area, but mainly because it takes a lot of time and experience, and this is an emotional game. Money matters. It's our life savings, and so it's tough. So I don't think most people can stick to Plan One, but I don't think it's a bad plan. And for my daughter, who's 25 years old, I tell her keep saving every year and just keep putting it in. Now, she's putting it into a strategy that is kind of like driving the Corvette but have some brakes so that it doesn't drive over the cliff. There's no guarantee that approach will do it, but it's risk managed, and it's largely designed to get you into the bull market periods and what you want to participate in. So I guess I would call her maybe an in-between, a Plan One and a Plan Two person. But the Plan One just says, I don't care what's going to happen. I've got conviction. I'm going to buy the lowest fee products possible, and I'm just going to hold on and rebalance once a year. Not a bad idea if you can do it. The hard part is, as you are nearing retirement or in retirement, it takes a lot of time to recover from the large corrections that will happen to plan one guys and plan two guys. So I believe that everything that we own should have some sort of risk managed tool built in on it that's designed to participate and seek growth, but also protect against significant downside. There's no perfect process, and so I like diversifying to a couple different processes, but all of them come about managing downside risk.
Yeah, that's critical in my view. And as you put it, a market crash is incubating. You mentioned in one of the earlier segments this morning that, approximately 90%, Scott, of daily equity flows in the U.S. are into passive or quasi-passive, just indexes, right? Mm-hmm. Also, Steve, you point out, approximately 90% of investment strategies are doing the same thing and being either trend-linked or volatility-linked. I mean, people come into my office and they've got six or eight or a dozen mutual funds, and they think they're diversified, and they don't realize they own a lot of the same stuff, and their approach to getting in and out, so to speak, is the same, 90%.
Yeah.
Correct. When you get over-concentrated, and that's the voice crying out in the wilderness today, be aware that there's risks that you don't see if you're not in it every day, and even if you're in it every day, you might be not looking at it through a clear enough lens.
Yeah, and you go on to say approximately 80% of the index performance in 2018 is due to three stocks, a handful of techs called the market darlings, Google, Alphabet, whatever, Facebook, Netflix, those few stocks, and they're in everybody's portfolio. And when the market turns and they start to head for the exits, it's going to get crowded, and if I can use a mixed metaphor here, the musical chairs, you may end up without a chair and a place to land. Don't let that be you. We're going to talk when we come back for the last segment. Time is flying this morning, but I want to talk, Steve, about some more. What can people do? How can they do that participate and protect that you talk about? We'll talk about that when we come back here on Legacy Living Financial Strategies. One more segment. Stay with us. Good morning and welcome back to Legacy Living Financial Strategies. I'm your host, Jeff Kennedy, and Scott Hardy alongside. We're talking to Steve Blumenthal as well this morning after another week of volatility in the markets, and talking about what risk is extant out there and what you can be doing about it. I know folks are getting concerned about this, Scott. It's this is a couple weeks in a row. The markets have closed down now and below some pretty significant milestones, Dow's below 25,000, things like that. The S&P is real close to testing lows of January. There's some interesting things going on out there. So people should be maybe taking a look at what they're doing and what is coming at them on the horizon. Don't be a Pollyanna about this. This is real stuff. No, the holidays are coming. Everybody's going to get busy with things like that. But, man, don't let this get away from you. And you don't have to pull it all out and bury it in the backyard, go to cash, that sort of thing. But you need to have a strategy that, as Steve mentioned last segment, Steve, you said, hey, enjoy the Corvette, drive that thing around, but make sure you got some brakes on it that can protect you when it gets a little crazy, right?
Correct.
Yeah, so one of the things that you look at weekly that helps to put things in perspective is the recession watch, you call it, because the worst things in terms of market performance happen during recession. And your piece is called Trade Signals. You put that out on your website. If folks want to get a link to that, they can just reach out to us at Kennedy Wealth Group, info@kennedywealthgroup.com. info@kennedywealthgroup.com. We can get you a link. But Trade Signals, Steve, talk a little bit about what you're seeing real quick, because we don't have a lot of time this segment, but real quick on the big picture, is recession imminent here? What are we looking at globally? What are your thoughts now based on the charts?
There's better than a 90% chance that we are in recession globally or at the beginning of recession. Of course, all of us in the United States don't see or feel that.
Right.
But if the world catches the flu, we're likely to catch the flu. So our global recession watch indicator has in the last month and a half jumped up to a 92% probability of global recession. Doesn't mean it's guaranteed, but I would, it's in the concern level. Well, so if I've got global exposure in my portfolio, I don't really want to have a lot of global exposure. And the rest of the world, if you look at the world markets, they're down significantly compared to our markets. So down two or three times more than our correction in the last couple of weeks. For the U.S., the good news is that there's no sign of a recession in the coming, let's say, 6 to 9 months. We'll watch that every. I repost it every week. But so that's the good news. As for the recent market sell-off, I think it's a good warning that you want to get more conservative, trim positions when we get rallies. And I think that that is the smart game plan here. And if I were to guess, and of course we don't know if we're going to get more Fed stimulus, they're moving in the opposite direction. We don't know if we're going to get another tax cut. That has certainly helped to juice the system. The repatriation of money from offshore, also another nice boost to us. So we're our economy is in the best shape of anybody else in the world. But the bull market is more than 9 years old. It's the oldest on record. Did make a high last September. So, you know, this is the kind of the first real, well, January was a little bit of a shock. This is another little crack in the dam. And if I had to guess, I think that there's time for U.S. investors, if you're largely concentrated in U.S. stocks, to put a plan in place that over the course of the next 6 months to a year, you really make sure that you're defending against the downside while seeking growth on the upside. So I'm not in the world's coming apart today. Of course, things could turn and continue to go lower. But typically those aren't the odds. So I would expect a year-end rebound, and I would expect, you know, some modest movement into next year. But markets are so overpriced. We're at the highest levels that we've been in history. The 10-year forward returns are zero to, call it 0% for 10 years. And if you're in a position to defend your portfolio and we get a sizable correction, then you're going to get 15% per year, unless you get run over on the way to the opportunity. So I think there's time to prepare. And my message is put a game plan in place.
Yeah, so I want to talk about that just a minute. I'm talking with Steve Blumenthal of CMG Wealth on Legacy Living Financial Strategy this morning. Steve, just a few minutes we have left. Some of the strategies that we use, or all of the strategies we use, you have either been the creator of, or you've got oversight to kind of watch that they're following the algorithms that they've put in place, that they're you know, having similar success to their track record in the past and so forth. So you're intimately familiar with it, but there's some strategies in there as simple as one algorithm that's just kind of long, flat. It's in the stock, large cap growth or more or less treasuries in some form or the other, all the way to the Malden Smart Core solution that blends four different managers inside one basket, but we diversify across strategies, not asset classes, with the portfolios that we build.
Yeah, so thank you. And let me first say that we have a big team behind us, this is their full-time energy all day. And, of course, as CIO, I sit on top of that. The large cap strategy essentially looks at the health of the market. And when you start getting more and more stocks breaking down or more sectors breaking down, what does that mean? Well, we look at their short-term, intermediate-term, and long-term trend. A lot of people might be familiar with the 200-day moving average line, and it's simply showing kind of what the average price of the S&P or the Dow or Amazon or whatever you want to pick, where its price has been over the course. What's its trend? Is its average price, is it trending up or is it trending down? And when you start getting more and more sectors, we measure 24 sectors, and when more and more of those sectors start trending down, we score this up, and we monitor that. And all the bad stuff typically happens when our score gets below 50. So we look at 24 sectors, we measure the, you know, how what their trend and that momentum looks like. And, you know, I almost look at think of it almost as a battle. If we're going into battle, we've got 100 soldiers on the field. If we lose 50 of the soldiers, our army's not so strong.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with the market. So we measure that and we de-risk as that trend starts moving down lower and lower. So we go from 100% exposure where we are today, and it's currently still 100% exposure despite what's happened in the last 2 weeks. It will go from 100% exposure to the S&P 500 index to 80% exposure based on certain rules. And when it gets worse, it goes to 40% and then down to zero. But it's also designed to get us back in quickly because we want to give the market the benefit of the doubt in most of the time. So there's a process for risk managing the downside. There's a rules-based process for getting us back in on the upside. It has to do with trend, when trend is moving higher. And our objective is to really avoid the bad mistakes that happen in the market.
Yeah, and that is critical to the participate. I mean, that basically underlines the participate and protect mantra that you have at CMG Wealth, and we do at Kennedy Wealth Group. That is, it gives you the ability to be in there, but have brakes on those, on the Corvette, so to speak, Scott. You know, you don't want to get rolling too far when the curves come, and you want some guardrails, and you want some brakes, you want some safety features, particularly if you've got that nice big million, $2 million Corvette you call your retirement nest egg. And so that is critical. And Steve, I like the way you put it. And going back to your plan to, you know, go into it with eyes open. Don't panic. Become greedy when others are fearful, and fearful when others are greedy, and then stick to the plan. Now, as Dalbar tells us year after year, retail individual investors have a difficult time doing that. But if you have an advisor who can be your guide and to help you remain in your seat during these volatile times, a strategy like this can really benefit you. If you'd like to learn more about how to do that, give us a call at Kennedy Wealth Group, 217-221-1300, 217-221-1300. If you want to get that second opinion and learn about these strategies we've been talking about this morning, we'd be happy to help you with that. Steve, thanks so much for coming on, spending the whole hour with us on your Saturday morning. I appreciate it. It's been very helpful for me and Scott, and I know our listening audience has enjoyed it as well.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
If you want to get a copy of the whole show, go to WTAD.com, click on the radio headsets, and you'll find the podcast right there. We'll see you again right here on Legacy Living Financial Strategies next week.
Join us next week for another edition of Legacy Living with Jeff Kennedy. Every Wednesday at 8:50 and Saturdays at 9. Right here on Talk Radio 930 WTAD.
Registered rep, broker, dealer, Center Street Securities. Member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services through Center Street Advisors and SEC Registered Investment Advisor. Kennedy Wealth Group and CSA are independent of CSS.